Have you noticed that the leaves haven't fallen? They usually come down with a whomp. One minute they're there, and then they're gone. Climate change. Let me begin with the scripture, the sermon scripture. It's part of the letter of Paul to Titus. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, despicable, hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of any works of righteousness that we had done, but according to his mercy, through the water of rebirth and renewed by the Holy Spirit. This Spirit he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might be heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The saying is sure. I desire that you insist on these things, so that those who have come to believe in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. These things are excellent and profitable to everyone. Most of us don't pay much, if any, attention to the seasons of the church year, but today is the end of what is called a liturgical cycle. Next week, Advent begins, a time of reflection and anticipation leading up to Christmas. Have you ever noticed how many beginnings and endings fill our days and months and years? Not only is there this church cycle, which moves through Christ's birth, life from birth to death to resurrection, but there's the school year, moving inexorably from September to June, with its sports schedules and holidays that impose order on family life. Then there's the calendar year, marked by due dates for various obligations, and national holidays highlighted by celebration and respect. No doubt the most obvious cycle is that of the natural world. We watch the seasons come and go, each with its charms and drawbacks. A week ago, I was struck by skies full of geese, forming their giant V's and calling to one another as they headed south. It occurred to me that with all the energy it must take to cover hundreds, even thousands of miles, they could save a little just by shutting up. How far can you go, churning your legs as hard as you can and screaming at the top of your lungs at the same time? Maybe it's just their goodbye to us, so we notice their departure. Without the honking, they might slip away unnoticed. Watching their seasonal ritual is comforting. We know all is well as they come and go. We catch a brilliant sunrise or sunset and are momentarily in awe. Think of all the hot shots on the weather of dawns and sunsets. We see the Rocky Mountains for the first time and are astounded by the grandeur. Sometimes we're lucky enough to catch the northern lights. And I swear I can almost hear music accompanying the majestic dancing colors. We walk through the yellow woods and feel the breeze through the rustling leaves and hear the birds. We hear the peepers in the spring. How can we not be touched? How can we not respond with gratitude, with simple thankfulness and appreciation for what we are experiencing? This gratitude helps us to escape our own self-involvement and obsessions. Thankfulness overcomes fear and resentment and anger, the cause of so much bad behavior, so many poor choices. How can you be thankful without a smile on your face? Gratitude improves our perspective and enhances our sense of humor. It is healthy and life-affirming. Last night on the news, there was an article about a woman suffering from anxiety, one of our modern maladies, for which many modern drugs had no effect. The doctor prescribed regular walks in the woods. Her anxiety dramatically decreased. So nature is our first great source of awareness of forces bigger than ourselves, something that draws out our gratitude. Another way to generate gratitude is also familiar to all of us, preparing and sharing food. No doubt we're still polishing off the last remnants of our various Turkey Day celebrations, and the thankfulness associated with that is still fresh in our minds. Notice how I picked the hymns today to reinforce that. I'd like to share with you a story from last Sunday's New York Times. It's about a man who happens to be Jewish, visiting friends who are Christian. At an awkward moment, he asks if he can make lunch. For the next 15 minutes, a house that is never at rest, four animals around us, 50 horses, sheep, goats, and ducks outside, fell silent. Pete, lost in thought, made snacks for his wife to eat later while she watched TV. Susan, lost in thought, made lunch for her daughter. And I, lost in my task, made salad for Susan. Salad mix, broccoli, cauliflower, sweet peppers, Brussels sprouts, radishes, carrots, feta. The only sound was my peeling, chopping, and scraping, and a kitchen at work, the oven exhaling, a pan emerging to rest on the grills of the burners, the scrape of a spatula. The three of us entered the most beautiful silence, composed, rhythmic, and filled with a kind of grace, perhaps because Susan was grateful to have food made for her, and I grateful to be something other than a nuisance. Where just minutes before I had felt only awkwardness, now I felt something approaching elation. If I were a believer, I would have said God was there. When the salad was ready, Susan embraced me, and what was an opportunity for an unseen boundary turned into a moment of greater intimacy than before. Susan and Pete might have called it fellowship. The power of food, of cooking together, is its ability to briefly blot out almost any pain. It is as elemental as pain itself. From nothing, you make something that will sustain you and people you love into tomorrow. It will last only until then, but tomorrow you can do it again. One of the things I love about the family's church is that it encourages you to experience God in your own terms. Food then is my faith. The experience of making it, serving it, and eating can be called sacred. Through all our daily routines and experiences, we have to recognize that we are supported by family and friends and God. It is easy to forget that there is a power sustaining us through good times and bad, a power that has enriched us with endless gifts, and we all know what gifts mean. Thank you notes. So keep in mind what Meister Eckhart once said, that if the only prayer you ever say in your entire life is thank you, that is enough. In addition to thanks for all the gifts we have received, we need to recognize and respond to the needs of others. This is an ancient concept practiced in many cultures, that while we give thanks for our own good fortune, we must look out for the impoverished, the infirm, the imprisoned, the refugee. We recognize the beauty of our sanctuary, the beauty of Ginny's music, the beauty of fall leaves and spring flowers. Can we recognize God's beauty in one another, especially in those who don't resemble us? We are called to look at each other and see Christ. That becomes our saving grace. We pride ourselves on our extravagant hospitality. How can we extend this hospitality and meet the needs of others? Mahatma Gandhi once said, "The simplest acts of kindness are more powerful than 1,000 heads bowing in prayer." At this point, I'd like the ushers, Tom and Diane, to pass among you with some slips of paper and some pens. While they're doing that, I'd like us all to take a moment to think about something we're thankful or grateful for. I was telling my idea to Pat Ponczak, who this summer broke a bone in her foot, and after weeks in a cast, is still finding that there are twinges when she walks the dog. But she said she's thankful for the fact that she notices that she's healing. So, having thought about what you might be thankful or grateful for, please write it down. Don't worry. I'm not going to call on you and insist that you stand up and proclaim what you've written. Now that you've expressed it, put it in your pocket or in your purse and take it home and use this bookmark. Let it be a reminder when you see it of all that you are grateful for. Perhaps you have heard of Martin Marty, a theologian at the University of Chicago. He was asked for the shortest description of worship. His response was, "Gratitude. Amen."